Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reef joins us. Nice to see you, Doc.
Thank you.
And also Gina Grad is with us.
Yeah.
Look at that, man. The evening triplet show. Yeah. All right. Dr. Reef is with us. And again, he deals with sex, drugs, and addiction. Relationships. Also an addiction medicine specialist. And can talk to us a little bit about shopaholics. You've had some experience there, huh?
Yeah. I treat quite a few shopaholics. I have a center that's opening soon called the Beverly Hills Center for Self-Control and Lifestyle Addictions. And it's basically sex addiction, gambling, shopping, food, internet, video games. You know, there was a study in the American Journal of Psychiatry looks at about 5.8% of Americans have either a compulsive buying or compulsive shopping problem.
Mostly women?
But you know, I don't think there's good numbers defining men versus women. It's definitively more women, but more women are apt to complain about it than men are. So because of that, you may see higher numbers in women actually going into treatment than you will see men, but more men may actually be doing it than we think.
This must be a like Super Bowl for them. Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Here's the interesting thing about this. There's a lot of Like I've got gamblers that are light kind of sports betting gamblers, and during a bad economy, the lighter gamblers, the ones that don't have hardcore problems, they don't bet as much because they don't have as much money. The hardcore
Pussies.
Gamblers, yeah, I know.
Yeah, Tim will tell you that's actually not called gambling. That's,
yeah, Tim will be like,
that's
called
playing.
Those guys aren't gamblers.
Those are guys are playing.
Yeah.
Like when we go to Vegas and I'm sitting around, and this is back when I was completely broke, and I would go to Vegas with all the money I had, you know, and gamble. And a friend of mine, we were sitting at the Caesar's Palace. A friend of mine comes up and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I'm down a buck." I go, "Are you down $1,000?" He goes, "No, I'm down a buck." I said, $100? He goes, "No, a dollar." I said, "You keep that kind of track of your gambling? Yeah. You know you're down a dollar? Were you at the arcade playing, you know, video games?
50 cents left.
Priced away from me. But those guys aren't gambling. They're just simply playing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Gambling is when,
you have something on the line.
You're taking credit card money out that you can't afford.
Yeah,
now, that's gambling.
Mortgage. That's gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but similarly, think about this, that we think about how bad it is for us, that the economy's tough, you know, for all of us. But people that have a shopping addiction, a compulsive buying addiction,
right,
or a gambling addiction for that matter, their addiction doesn't go away with the rise and fall of the economy.
Right.
Their addiction stays. So they could be dirt poor even more now than they were before, but they're still buying all sorts of stuff off the racks with the price tags on and not even using it.
Right. That's true.
You know, it's hardcore.
But, and again, Norm MacDonald said this, and it may be one of the problems with the addiction, but he said, and he's right about this, gambling is the only addiction where you can really make a lot of money. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you can't make a lot of money shopping.
Right.
You know?
You lose a lot of money
The adrenaline.
It's the opposite.
But the adrenaline of having, you know, your rent on a horse or on a blackjack hand is something else. the thrill of buying a pair of shoes that you're never going to use, I don't get it.
Well, I'm sure you can relate to this. Like the gambling addicts that I've had in my office have been like, you know, I make a lot of money. I just can't stop. So I end up losing it. Like if they had a way of sitting back and going, all right, I made the money I needed to make. I made the mark. I hit it. I know where I'm at. Now I can leave and I can go to Jack in the Box or do what Randy
does. With Randy.
You know, hang out with Randy. But they can't. So the problem is not making the money. The problem is containing themselves with their behavior when they've made their money. Because most of the guys I see are pretty good gamblers.
Right.
They're good. They have skill. The problem is they lose their sense of self in the process.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know who they are. They're like time.
I understand.
12, 18, 36 hours fly by.
But it makes perfect sense because you don't want to quit while you're up because you're up. But you certainly don't want to quit while you're down because you got to win it back. So when's the right time to quit? When's the right time to back away from the table? It seems like either way you're screwed.
Yeah, it's like Mickey Rooney said, he's lost a lot of money at the racetrack.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him, how much have you lost over your lifetime? He said, $2. He goes, $2? Your whole lifetime? He says, yeah. He said, well, you don't have an addiction. You only lost $2. He goes, no, I've spent millions trying to get it back. Millions. but I also think that the gamblers that I know, the people who really gamble, I'm not talking about playing cards, I'm talking about gambling, those guys always have an exceptional like wicked great sense of humor.
Yeah.
I don't know if, where that comes from. You know, it comes in, you know, the desperation of having all of your money on the line. But I've never met a gambler who is a huge gambler and has no sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've met some guys that are so depressed and so angry that they kind of lost their sense of humor when I saw that. But I'm sure they had one previously.
Yeah.
But,
all right. Yeah. Dr. Reif is with us, folks. Again, if you're a shopaholic, maybe you know one. Gambler, you're involved in drugs and sex and relationships. He is an addiction medicine specialist, and here was some great advice for you. So here are the phone numbers, 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
Or maybe you're addicted, like Randy's mom seems to be, of pissing off salespeople. So spending all this money and all this time buying stuff and then taking it back the next day and effing with their commissions.
Hey, is this a problem? This happened to me today. And I hate to use you here, you know, solely for my purposes, but it is my show, so F all you guys.
All right. Where's
but
is set this the timer.
Yeah,
I know.
Is this a problem? I go to a bookstore in the valley, right? And I take my daughter there once, maybe twice a week, because she loves books. And I thank God that she loves books and not weed, right? And she's only 3 years old, but she loves reading.
Christ.
She loves sitting there with a book, and so I really enjoy taking her to the bookstore, and I want to encourage her to read it as much as possible. So I bought her a book like 3 weeks ago. Take it home. My wife said, "She already has this book." I said, "All right, I'll take it back." So I take it back to the bookstore, and the guy says, "You know, this our return policy is 14 days." I said, "Well, how long has it been?" He says, "It's been 21 days."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, just I said you can look up my phone number here because I probably spend about $300 or $400 a month at this store." And he goes, "It doesn't matter."
Wow.
And I said, "This book is $7. You're going to piss off a customer, and I'm never coming back to Barnes & Noble's." Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say the name of the store? "I'm never coming back to the Encino branch of that Barnes & Noble's again because of this $7 book. Is that right, sir?" And he says, "It's the store policy. Sorry, man." I mean, but that's how, and that got me crazy. And I took Sophia, we went to Borders in Sherman Oaks. And Borders is a great store, and their return policy is 30 days. And
wow,
it's not 14 days. And, but that little, that's how stupid some companies are, that for $7, this little tiny book, they pissed off a guy who spends probably $3,000 a year there, and has been doing that for maybe 5 years. $15,000 over the last 5 years. And for that $7 book, they made me so crazy, I told my wife, "No longer go to that store. I'm not going to that store. And if you're going to spend your own money at that store, fine, but don't use the credit card that I gave you, or else I'll divorce your ass."
Did either one of you try to get a manager involved?
No, I don't want to do that over a $7 book with my daughter.
But didn't he say, "Well, let me get my manager because I don't have the authority to make that decision"?
No, because you know what? I don't deal with these fat, bearded eunuchs who work at bookstores.
Oh. They all look like wavy gravy?
Yeah, they wear these aprons around, and they all, they're like these real feminine, not gay guys, they're like feminine, heterosexual, fat bearded guys who walk around these stores and think they own the joint. They think that uniform is something that they have over 20 years of being in the military, they've earned those stripes. They've just told you where the sports section is.
Where I can find a copy of
it's some kind of crazy authority that these guys have with these stupid aprons on.
Yeah.
But that's something that makes my blood boil. Is that something that is a problem with me?
Oh, here we go.
Is it retail in general?
Yeah, is this retail or is this Tim? So here's a serious question. Is it what makes your blood boil? Is it the fact that people are so stringent and formalized and these big companies have these specific rules that you feel like people should be flexible on and they're not, and that pisses you off?
Well, I tell you what I think pisses me off. I think that's part of it. But yeah, but they're so sort of narrow-minded and narrow-sighted.
They're not thinking the big picture.
Yeah,
right?
They're not thinking. I mean, like if you went, you know, I'm used to going to the racetrack or Vegas, where you know I don't know, you go to Vegas and you get your watch caught in the door and it breaks. Guy comes out and goes, "Let's go to a watch store. I'll make that good for you. Hey, I got this. I got that." You know, they work the deal because they know you're a decent customer. I was just a number to this guy, and he said, "I'm not returning the book." And what really pisses me off is that he sort of had a joy in telling me that he's not bringing this book, that you're not bringing this book back to this store.
Yeah.
And I think that's from probably his life of being turned down by a million chicks. And he all of a sudden gets to turn me and my ass down.
Yeah, it's like the bouncer at the nightclub that lives in his basement with his mom.
Yeah.
But
like
gets off at night instead of telling people they can't come in.
Right. God,
like
made me so crazy. And especially, you know, and here's what also made me crazy. In today's economy, where you see Mother's Cookies, General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, Citibank, Washington Mutual, all of them going out of business, Circuit City, that a guy would say, "That $7 book, I know you spent $15,000 over the last 5 years here, but F you."
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, I wasn't a decent customer to them. I was just another schmuck who bought a $6 book. It was $6 and change. And I said, what do I do with the book now? He goes, "Well, go, you know, if you want to go donate it to a library, you can do that." And my daughter had a stack.
He said that?
Yeah. She had a stack of books that we were going to buy there that was well over $75.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Have you been big on rules and authority ever in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I understand rules, I understand authority, but I just don't understand stupidity, right?
Yeah.
Like if some guy was, let's say somebody was an advertiser on this show, right? And they wanted me to, they spent, you know, $150,000 over the year. And they'd ask me, they'd say, "Hey, you know, can you come out and meet us for lunch? We have a new product coming out in the valley." And I said to him, "Not unless you're buying lunch." They'd be like, "Well, you're an a-hole." I said, "Well, I'll come to lunch, but you better pay me to be there and you better buy lunch." It's that kind of, my reaction to the guy returning the $6 book was, "Here, let me give you money out of my pocket. You know, I'll give you the money for the book. We'll work it out later. Yeah. And we're going to break the rules here because, you know, you've been such a value customer of the store."
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to hear from these guys.
But think about this. That guy obviously is not a team player looking at the big picture. He doesn't care. He has a job. His job is, "I'm going to turn this guy down and maybe I'll like it. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm not thinking the big picture of the company." If he was, he'd be a smart guy and would have worked it out with you.
Right.
He doesn't care because he's making a certain salary and that's all he cares about. He doesn't care about anything else.
Right.
So it's literally, he's not representing the company. He's representing himself with a rule book in front of him.
And when he goes into that break room for a cup of coffee with a big ear-to-ear grin and people are like, "Hey, you know, what happened out there? You're looking pretty good." He gets to regale that story like it's a war story.
Right.
Like he saved troops by telling you that
I hope he enjoyed the story because that cost that particular, and I'm not going to name the store,
right,
but it's an Encino on Havenhurst and Ventura. At Barnes & Noble is what it is. But it drives me crazy. It drives me absolutely crazy that in this economy, somebody would be that stupid.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, who does that? I mean, somebody would have to be a complete moron to do that. And why would you hire morons? That's what makes me so goddamn crazy. Yeah. Oh, it's just outrageous. All right, let's talk to Jordan in Northridge. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Tim. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
So I just had a question for the doctor. I've been a recreational marijuana user since I was relatively young, and after getting home from Iraq, I became a medical user for psychological reasons. And I've heard such contradictory statements on the whole addiction to marijuana and it as a gateway drug. And my feeling has always been that it doesn't matter what that person picked up to begin with. It could have been alcohol, could have been coke. It's the addictive personality and not the drug itself. And I feel marijuana gets such a bad rap. But I could be completely wrong, and that's why I wanted the doctor's opinion on it.
Good for you. How long were you in Iraq?
I was in Iraq for a year and 3 months.
Wow, good for you. Well, we appreciate you being over there and, you know, kicking ass.
Well, thank you. I was just doing my job.
Well, it's a pretty tough job.
And you said you've been smoking from a relatively young age. About how old were you when you started?
About 14 years old.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Jordan, Dr. Reef here.
Hi.
I agree with you, actually. People that have addictions, I wouldn't call it an addictive personality. I would call it a vulnerability to addiction in the brain.
Okay.
Certain people have vulnerabilities to addiction. And the more you take a drug, just whether it's, listen, that drug could be a lot of Xanax. It could be a lot of Vicodin. It could be pot. It could be Coke. It could be heroin. It could be E. It could be whatever. But the more that you strain and put stress on that addicted brain, that vulnerable brain, the more of a chance that you will blow into full addiction with that substance. Now, there's a lot of people out there that smoke pot and have no problems. And there's other people that smoke pot and have a lot of problems.
They're getting cabs.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Yeah, they're getting cabs and hitting Jack in the
Jesus
box.
Christ.
So, yeah, it really depends on you. Now, I will say this, and I've told Tim this before a couple of times, that the THC content of pot now is, you know, six to eight times what it was in the 60s. So,
no doubt.
We're talking about a lot stronger, more potent pot now. So, when people ask me about addictions to pot, yeah, you can get that. You can get withdrawal symptoms. You can get all sorts of stuff if you're vulnerable to it.
Yeah, but if anybody in the world, should we cut a break for people smoking weed? Shouldn't it be guys who've been in a war?
Yeah, I mean, guys that have fought for our country deserve.
Yeah, you know what? The government should buy you weed and set you up for life in front of a plasma TV with video games.
Every week, my package is here. Okay.
Yes.
I agree, and I'm thankful for the fact that the Californians feel that it's not that it is a victimless crime and that there's no need for anyone to be deprived of it.
And Jordan, do you have a license or you just do your thing?
No, I have a license. Yeah. I've been a patient for over 4 years now, so.
Did you get that Iraqi syndrome, that disease going around?
Post-traumatic stress disorder?
No, there's another one they're talking about. Some kind of, I don't know, like it was an airborne disease and it's in the lungs or something?
Oh, I believe that was from the first Desert Storm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm from the recent Iraq War. I'm not quite that old yet.
Right.
So,
were you in the Marines?
I was in the Army.
Army.
Yes.
Saw some pretty crazy stuff?
I definitely did. I was in Fallujah in November of 2004. So.
2004, before the surge?
Well, when we made the big push onto Fallujah.
Wow.
So it was a quick push, but definitely not a fun experience.
And for people who think we lost that war or losing it, you could probably confirm this for me. We never lost a battle in Iraq. Is that correct?
Correct. We never. I mean, we've lost many a troops that I feel is a very sad thing, but we've never lost a battle. And ultimately, my belief is as long as our trained military is over there, we're keeping the terrorists there and not here in America.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So who better than the trained?
Yes. All right, Jordan, we appreciate you calling,
well,
man.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful night.
All right, you take care.
You too,
right. Look at that guy. Those guys are always well-mannered, too.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, sir. No, sir. You know?
Yeah.
They've been taught well. All right, Dr. Reef is with us, also Gina Grad, and Dr. Reef is a psychiatrist and specializes in sex, drugs, and relationships. Also, you're having your own. You're opening up your own place in January.
Yeah,
January.
Center in January.
Well, look at that. And is it an inpatient deal?
Yeah, it's outpatient.
Outpatient.
Outpatient is the Beverly Hills Center for Self-Control and Lifestyle Addictions.
Nice. And a big opening in January.
Yep, by late
January. After the holidays. Perfect time.
Open bar at this opening?
Yeah, right. Gina's always going to the bar.
And please, I see the phone lines lighting up with people asking for Dr. Reef to write him a prescription. So
yes.
You can just get rid of those calls.
You can write prescriptions, though, right?
I can.
Yeah.
He's not going to
talk to you after the show. All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Rob in Rockford, Illinois. Look at that. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, good evening.
Hey.
I'm about 2 hours northwest of Chicago, just to give you a reference point.
How's the weather?
We got snow. So, fun to shovel this weekend, but it wasn't too bad. We didn't have anything for Thanksgiving, but anyway, I've been listening to you guys off and on with the podcast, and I finally caught you live. And boy, you hit the nail on the head with the situation with your experience at the bookstore.
Oh, it's outrageous.
Yeah, I run my own business, and one thing that I have found, and I tell people this, it's really, you know, rule number one of customer service is the customer is always right. Now, if you do know what rule number two is?
No.
Okay. If the customer is wrong, refer to rule number one.
Wow.
Right.
Because, I mean, I would rather take a hit on something. My business is more service-oriented. I deal with telecommunications and stuff like that. So it's mostly, it's not the product. It's not this, you know, any, it's the service. So if I make a mistake, I'd rather say, okay, let me take care of this for you, because I'd rather keep them as a good customer, if not as a customer, as a reference.
Right.
You know, somebody that, you know, hey, you know, that guy took care of me, even though, you know, I might have been a jerk. You know.
Well, you also, I hate to interrupt here, but it's one of the reasons why Walmart has a billion stores and a billion people working for them and makes billions of dollars. I've never had a problem with Walmart at all returning something there. And they give you up to 90 days if it's in the package. I think even a little longer than that if you want to trade it in or just exchange it for something.
Yeah. Well,
and I have a question, actually. This might be a Tim question. Have you noticed that, do you think that customers are angrier now than they ever have been and have more time on their hands? Because I don't think business owners, like Rob probably, you know, years ago, were worried about their neighborhood getting papered with flyers about, don't go to this business, they didn't give me a refund. But that's a real concern these days, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it is. And again, this guy, Rob from Rockford, Illinois, a couple hours north of Chicago, this is the Midwestern mentality.
Yep.
Of, you've got to treat people correctly because you were treated correctly, when you were a kid or when you needed something. And that's the way it is. But you go to, New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles and
Havenhurst. And,
yeah. They'll bang you right in the A over these small things.
Well, I know that obviously I haven't been around the whole country, but I know mostly that, you know, even as you get closer into the city of Chicago, things are a little bit more aggressive. You know, people obviously, you know, as you probably heard of Michigan Avenue where, you know, Oprah lives all that kind of stuff. I mean, but the bottom line for me is, you know, you have to take care of your customers because you know, after you lose all your customers, then how are you going to have any business and survive? And there's so many people. I mean, I used to work for the big phone company, and they would spend dollars to save pennies.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, so my thing is to make sure I listen to the customer, get a feel for what they're looking for. And, you know, even if they're being like completely outrageous, you know, not that I would say you were at that point in time, but I mean, even if it's against, let's say I had a policy against something, I would kind of bend a little bit to say, well, you know what, we'll do it this time. And then for the next time. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't know if you read about this or heard about this in the news, but it happened in, I think, in Queens or somewhere in Long Island, where a guy gets on a bus and he asked the bus driver for a transfer, but the bus driver realized that the guy didn't pay the $2 to get on the bus. So he says, I'm not giving you the transfer. The guy says, F you, punches him in the face and stabs him to death right on the bus.
Wow.
Hope it was worth it.
Over $2. It's just not worth it. All right, Rob, thank you, and thanks for catching us live, Bubbo.
Not a problem.
All right, take care of yourself. Look at that guy calling from Illinois. Look at that man.
My home state.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk. Are we take a break here? Okay, I'll come back with more phone calls for Dr. Reef, everybody. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Gina Grad is with us as well. It's the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Gina Grad is with us. Also, Dr. Reef, R-E-E-F, drreef.com. Is that right?
Yep.
Spell out doctor, though.
Yep.
DrReef.com. If you'd like some hand at or some answers to any of the questions you might have, maybe you're addicted to medicine or a pot or pills or something, or booze or gambling or shopping. What's the craziest addiction you've treated?
You know what furrying is?
No.
Furring.
Furring?
You know, like when people get off on wearing animal like heads.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, Randy's like cracking up.
He's pointing to himself.
But yeah, it's guys that drive, you know, people, couples, sometimes guys with each other, sometimes girls with each other, they wear costumes, like mascot costumes. So I had one, this guy was a mascot. And just like doing that.
Huh. Wow.
And that was his thing.
And he would bang other mascots?
maybe that's how it started.
Right.
But yeah, it continued on. So like there's interesting, man, if you can think it, it's happening.
So like the guy who's into the mascots, he could get like really turned on watching like a Michelin commercial.
The Michelin guy.
Yeah. It's like, wow, look at the rings on that dude.
That is a costume. So, you know, you never
Jesus
know.
Jesus Christ.
I have a question. Have you treated anyone who can't stop splotching?
Splotching.
What's that?
I bet you have. This is actually something I can't believe, you know, we should bring to Randy's attention. I'm going
to
hear about this afterwards. But,
back to Randy.
It's people who get off by sitting in food.
Oh, didn't they have a real sex
is
that right?
Something on that?
Oh, like, there has to have been.
Yeah, I think there was a show on that.
How dare you?
We're not friends anymore, are we?
How dare you reveal
you
my personal things that I tell you over the vacation,
you're right.
My
you're
personal right. demons, and you got to go on the air and tell people that I like to sit in food and
you're
get
right.
myself off? Jesus Christ, Gina.
Right. Wow, he's having a day.
Victor in West Hollywood. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, how are you, man?
All right, what's going on with you, dude?
All right, so I have a question. I had a girlfriend that was taking care of her daughter for 2 years. She cheated on me, kicked her out. I've tried to quit weed and cigarettes before, and I had no success in doing it. But the day that I found out she was cheating on me, I kicked her out. I did it with no problem.
Wow, look at you. Yeah, how long ago was that?
This was actually 3 months ago.
Oh, okay. God.
All right, so you quit cold turkey. Cigarettes and weed?
Yes.
Wow.
And for the first 3 days, it was the hardest 3 days I ever had. But now my friends and all of them smoke weed and cigarettes in front of me, and it doesn't bother me. I don't even get.
You're a big man.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Bigger than me.
Well, see, he had a stimulus, right? He had a stimulus that caused him a lot of anxiety. So there was no way he was going to quit because he had the anxious woman
right.
there in front of him. So every time he had to deal with her or deal with the conflict, he'd start smoking something again.
Hey,
once she was out of the loop, it's a different story.
How long was the relationship?
We started dating October 15, 2006.
But who's counting?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And
8 p.m.
Did she ever go out of town at all?
Actually, no. We moved in together. We actually worked together. She cheated on me with one of my work.
Mm. Oh, man.
Yeah,
was she pretty hot?
I'm Hispanic. She was white. First white girl I've ever been with.
Dude, you gotta stay away from those white chicks, man.
Or as Tim calls them, she-devils.
They are bad news, dude.
I come to find that out. Yeah, they actually hit it pretty good for me, but when I was out, I didn't.
If I were you, I'd stop speaking English, too. I'd get right back in deep in that Hispanic community and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I am trying to, but that is actually another question I have. How can I get back in the game? I mean, I've banged other chicks, but it doesn't fulfill me.
Hmm.
It doesn't like cause me to be any better or whatnot. I mean, when I'm alone, I still put on my Spanish rancheras and start drinking, and I remember her, but I have no desire in taking her back at all.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I guess it's just time, I guess. I don't know. What do you think, Doc?
Well, it sounds like he misses the intimacy of being with a woman. It's not about the sex. It's not about getting laid. You know, obviously that's not working for him. What he's missing is that companionship and intimacy, the cheesy stuff. The companionship and the intimacy is what he's missing. So he needs to, it's hard to find somebody, but he's going to keep missing her until he finds somebody that he can actually share some of his, you know, innermost thoughts with and actually.
You'll find somebody, dude. Just make sure she's not white.
Most definitely,
Bob. All right, buddy. All right, you're a big stud. Yeah.
Thanks for helping me out with the dating stuff, by the way, Tim.
Hey, listen, I'm 90% done with my thesis here. white chicks are dangerous. All right, Daniel and Walnut, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Bobo.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, what do you got going?
Well, I had a question for the doctor.
All right.
What's up, Daniel?
Hey. I think I'm addicted to marijuana, but I'm not sure. I just wanted expert advice.
What makes you think you're addicted?
I smoke in the morning, after meals, at night before I go to sleep.
Yeah, you're fine.
In days that end in Y.
Yeah.
Say what?
Days that end in Y.
Randy,
I'm sorry, I can hear you.
That's cool.
Randy just asked, what's the problem?
I know. Come on. That's nothing.
I smoke a lot. That's
we get the message. Do you think he's addicted?
So one question I would ask is why is he smoking? Is he smoking because he's anxious? Is he smoking? Like, I just got to ask that one question. What's the reason that you smoke when you do?
I would say just to get more out of what I'm getting, I guess.
Because most people that are addicted, they smoke because they're bored. They smoke because there's nothing going on in their lives. They smoke because they're anxious. They smoke because they can't deal with stuff that's happening in their life.
They smoke because their partner always calls up sick?
Yeah, their partner always calls up
sick. Oh, no, I haven't.
That's mean, Tim. You were mean and rude.
Sorry, Brent.
But, you know, what? One sure sign here is try to quit and tell me what happens. You know, like what happens to you when you don't smoke? You skip a night, you skip a morning, you skip a full day. What happens to you? Do you get really, really anxious? Do you get really bored out of your mind? Do you, like, what happens to you?
Honestly, I really can't remember the last time.
All right, dude. Well, I think you answered your own question. Are you stoned right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Huh. All right. How much weed do you have on you right now?
I'd probably say like a quarter.
Oh, that's not bad. All right, no, that's pretty cool.
All right, but
if he is addicted,
yeah,
and I guess you can become addicted to marijuana,
yeah,
what's the best way to, is it cold turkey? Is it weaning yourself off?
I mean, you can't really wean off of pot.
I mean,
you're going to have to stop it. And when you stop it, that's why I tell every time I deal with somebody who's a pot smoker who is addicted to pot, I got to know why they smoke it. Because then I can either give them meds to replace the problem that I can wean them off of.
Right.
Like if it's for anxiety or if they're bummed out or for whatever. Or I can find some kind of substitutive or replacement behavior so that, you know, if they're like, for most people, there's some underlying issue. They hate their wife. They hate their life. They hate their job. They hate their dog. They hate something, and it's freaking them out. And so they smoke. So you got to figure out the underlying stuff.
Sedates them a little bit.
What do you hate, Danny?
I guess actually a lot of things have been going wrong actually.
Well, what do you? What's been going wrong? You lose a job?
Struggling paying some bills. The brand new car I got's having some problems, and I got to pay out of a bucket to fix, and I just got out of an accident.
Oh, boy.
It's been like this
before that, though.
All right. Hey, when you listen to the show, is it better when you're high?
Yeah, actually, I laugh more.
I think that's what it's designed for, guys like you. All right, dude. I don't know. You're obviously you are addicted to it. I mean, if you can't remember last time you didn't wake up and smoke or go to bed or smoke during the day, and now you just have to decide whether you want to quit or whether this life is enjoyable.
It's got to be on and off, huh?
Yeah,
on or off.
You know, I mean, I know Dr. Reef can, you know, can give you medication or give you something else to to try to get you over. You know, the first couple of days, first couple of weeks, I guess, are the toughest, huh?
Yeah, and also there's marijuana anonymous groups. I mean, you could go to a group where you talk to other people about it. You can try to quit cold turkey yourself. You can, you know, do what you got to do. But when I see people have something to do with their lives that they're actually kind of excited about or happy about, those are the ones that they quit pretty quickly. It's the ones that have nothing going on that are completely overwhelmed and bored out of their minds that can't stop.
Hey, what's your passion in life, dude?
Mechanic. I work with tools.
You work on cars?
Yeah, pretty much anything with a motor.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, you love doing that?
Yeah.
Are you doing it now?
Well, no, I'm working with medicine.
What kind of medicine?
Over-the-counter stuff. Like not like a street pharmacist or anything like that. Just pretty much over-the-counter home equipment and beds and canes. And
I see. You drop off the equipment
medical equipment.
Well, we wholesale. We not too patient to patient. We do hospital.
I've been seeing you. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Yeah, that's BS that you're in that business because you have no passion for it and you can't stand it and you can't probably stand dealing with the people you work with.
Well, here's the thing. It's a relative business.
I know, but that's like the worst to get into. You got to get out and start, you know, working on cars like you love doing. And all of a sudden you stop smoking weed, make a little more money, and you enjoy yourself.
Yeah, my mother tells me that, actually.
Yeah, well, your mom just called me and told me to tell you that. All right, buddy, you know what to do. You're a smart guy. All right, thanks for calling. These guys, they have the answers. You know, I mean, his mom keeps telling him to do it, and it's not a mystery that you know that we picked up in 2 minutes. His mom has been telling him for years.
Right.
But to get it also into getting a family business that you don't like is hell.
Yeah, but don't you think that in that case, especially when you're a little bit younger, it comes from equal parts being afraid of the unknown and just being lazy? It's two things. It's, I'm scared and I don't want to fail and it's going to be hard. And what if nothing good comes of it anyway? You know, so it's that fear of the unknown. And it's just that laziness that you can't guarantee there's going to be a return on something you're going to try.
Right. And there's family's expectations on you and they're counting on you to take over the family business, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I think family businesses, when they're started, they do well. The second generation takes them over and they do well. The third generation hates it. And, you know, if it's third generation, the guy who owns the cleaners or whatever, those guys are always the ones, you know, doing heroin and trying to, you know, take money out of the cash register and enjoy themselves. Well, I wonder why that is. I wonder why, like, the third or fourth generation, they just get crazy with the business.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
And they run it in the ground.
I think there's a pride in even the most lame family businesses. It's based on some kind of pride because they started it from scratch. And that second generation sees the parents struggling to make it happen. Third generation was never around.
Right.
They had no clue. You do what? Are you kidding me? We make that stuff? You
know, really? We're excited about the frozen banana stand? Really?
Yeah, but you know, but that's one of the reasons why some of the smart guys, they put their family name on the business.
Right.
You know, so you're like, hey, you're not going to let that family name down.
And sons. So they lock him in before they even have a chance to say no.
Right, exactly. All right, let's talk to Robert here in Ontario. You're on 97.1 FM Talk with Dr. Reef. How are you?
Hi there, Conway.
Hey.
Hey, you know what? I've been married 23 years. I haven't been happy for the last 13 years. And I kicked meth by myself. I kicked weed. Now I'm drinking more than ever because I'm not happy. Me and my wife have a house. We own the house. My kids are doing good at home.
How old are your kids?
23 and 20.
They're both at home?
Yeah, but they're going to college and they both have jobs. And but I mean, I have a good job at a major warehouse. I'm a supervisor, and I just come home from work, and all I do is drink until I pass out.
Well, this might be the wrong advice, but I say you get back into meth.
No way, I got five getting the window.
All right,
I go back to the racetrack, right?
Yeah. All right, Dr. Reef, what do you think? This guy comes home and gets hammered until he passes out.
Hey, Robert, what's going on? It's Dr. Reef. You sound depressed. He's already named off like three or four of the clinical symptoms of depression. Alcohol is a central nervous system depressant.
Right.
He doesn't want to deal with stuff, so he just passes out. I mean, he needs to get, I don't know if you have insurance. I don't know what's going on with the workplace, but if there's somebody, if you could go see a doctor.
Oh, my work is fine. I just get home and I don't want to deal with anybody. My kids aren't home because they're working.
How much do you drink? What do you drink every night?
Probably about a quart of vodka.
What kind of vodka?
Grey Goose.
All right. Well, at least you're going top shelf.
Yeah. I definitely think
going top shelf. Actually, you know, I can get some that Kirkland vodka. It's supposed to be Grey Goose too.
Yeah, Kirkland's not bad either. I wouldn't go low end though. That's when you get liver problems and hangovers.
Are you really talking to him? Comparing the quart vodka that he's drinking.
Kirkland vodka is actually Grey Goose.
Jeez.
That's why I said I'm not great at advice. That's what we got you here,
Robert. You've definitely developed an alcohol problem as well as probably depression. So, you know, definitely
liver problem.
No, alcohol problem.
Yeah, okay.
You never know. The liver problems are, you know, probably, who knows how far away they are. Yeah, but you definitely need to talk to a doctor about it. At least get evaluated to see kind of where your liver's at and how your body's holding up with that, because you're definitely going to need some help.
I actually did, and I was totally amazed. It was like 6 months ago, and they had me run some tests, and my liver came out fine. And I was like, oh, my God.
How old are you?
I'm 49. Yeah.
Didn't they ask you to cut drinking, check out AA, check out some facilities, check out an antidepressant, check out talking to a therapist? Didn't they talk to you about any of those treatment options?
Well, they actually told me to try Belvedere instead of
Oh, my God. You know what, Robert? I'm curious how your wife reacts.
Is this your brother? Who is this? Who is this guy?
Robert Conley.
My uncle.
I'm curious how your wife reacts when she sees you drinking. Does she get upset?
No, this is what's funny, is she just stays in a room. We have separate bedrooms now.
Oh.
And this is just not a joke call.
You're the king of Ontario.
I am.
You've worked it out.
I am the king of Ontario. I'm the king of Costco, actually.
Right. No, he's sitting right here, my friend.
Actually, we have four bedrooms, and I come home and I watch my big screen TV in the living room and drink until, you know, I pass out, and then I wake up in the morning and take a shower and go to work in the morning.
What do you do for a living?
I work at Costco.
Oh, you work at Costco?
Oh,
I see.
Tell anybody.
You guys have a lot.
I know, but when you say you go to work, it's not like you're an airline mechanic. You know, you're stacking up toasters.
That'd be cool.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I do work at Costco, and I go get up and go to work every day. It's kind of getting harder every day, though, because, you know, I'm drinking more and more and more.
Right.
So,
Well, maybe if you didn't drink so much, I wouldn't have to stand in line for 25 minutes when I'm checking out.
Hey, you come through my line, Tim. I'll take care of you, man. I'll take you in front of my line.
And I'll take you up on that. Won't piss anybody off.
Okay.
All right, buddy, you're a stud, man. Just hold on 1 second. What do you think this guy should do real quick? Obviously, he's got to...
I mean, if he's going to take it seriously, which I think he should talk to a doctor about, you know, getting a therapist, antidepressant, something, or at least being evaluated for whether he meets criteria for depression.
Right.
Man, he can't be drinking that much vodka a day.
Not much.
I mean, he's got a problem.
All right, dude, you got to stop drinking so much.
Well, if anything, we've
I know, it's such a downer.
We've had some ringing endorsements for some major chain stores today.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's, we take another call? We got time? All right, let's take a quick call here. Don in Northridge, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reef is with us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Nice to talk to you again, Tim.
Thank you, sir.
And, basically, as I am right now, I have just told my girlfriend that I have started using heroin again. I've been clean for about 9 months. And
how'd she take it?
Better than expected. She's actually a therapist. And she just, you know, kind of likes to leave her work at home. So she's not necessarily that approachable about it. And I just finally kind of told her because a friend of mine almost overdosed and died, and it kind of shook me up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she's pretty passive aggressive. So it's kind of hard to get a read on her sometimes. She's going along with it now, but she's the type who, you know, you never know. It might come home one day and everything be gone and, you know, she'd be back with her parents or something. But, you know, right now I'm thinking about using Suboxone or Subutex to quit because I'm actually just about to move to Oregon and so will not have any way to get anything. I've just bought a house out there.
Whereabouts in Oregon?
Eugene, Springfield area, right by the college.
Right. Are you on heroin right now?
No, not at the moment. I'm currently on, I got a Suboxone pill that I took from a friend.
What is Suboxone? What does that do?
It's a Suboxone. So you've got heroin, which is an opiate agonist. So that basically means that you've got this receptor. It's like a gas tank, like the opiate receptor. It fills it to full, and then you feel high when it's full. And when it goes to get low, you get all the withdrawal symptoms. You get the body aches.
Oh, you do.
The flu-like symptoms and the goosebumps and the diarrhea and the nausea, all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. Suboxone locks that gas tank at like 60%. So you don't get high when you take it, and you don't get withdrawal symptoms. And it locks it stronger than heroin. So even if you wanted to take heroin when you were on the Suboxone, you wouldn't feel high. You wouldn't get the effects of heroin. It's a really cool drug. Yeah, it's like...
How long has it been around?
Got approved by the FDA in 2003, late 2002, early 2003. So it's pretty new.
How long you on for? Six months?
It's an outpatient thing. So, you know, like with methadone, you had to go to the methadone clinic early in the morning. And, you know, it was 24 to 36 hour half-life. So you had to go every single day in the morning. And it's a good drug. Methadone's a good drug. But it's, you know, there's a little stigma attached to going to some methadone clinic in some neighborhood.
Especially every day. Yeah.
And you gotta go every day. Suboxone is done on an outpatient basis. So a doc, like me, an addiction doc, you could just see somebody like that and they could just prescribe you the medication and then you do it. Now, some people will do it as a detox for like a week. For some people, it's short-term maintenance, like a month. And for other people, they've been on it, you know, years.
Wow. Doesn't it have less side effects than methadone? Didn't when people lost their teeth when they were heroin addicts, wasn't it because of the methadone as opposed to heroin?
It depends how you do the heroin. Right. I mean, anytime you're smoking.
You don't have those kind of side effects from Suboxone.
No, it's a pill that you take under your tongue.
And what is Suboxone good for? Marijuana?
No, only opiates.
Only opiates.
Yeah.
Heroin, Vicodin.
Heroin, somebody with a Vicodin addiction, Percocets, you know, OxyContin, opium, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's a really good drug. I think it also
encourages or helps people when they're on the drug to have some hope as well.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Yeah, there's so many people out there that once they realize Suboxone was there and was FDA approved, that it gives them, I mean, a lot of my patients have called it a miracle drug.
What are some side effects of Suboxone?
Well, the thing that's tough with Suboxone is for some people, once you dose it up to where they need to be to deal with the amount of heroin they were dealing with or whatever drug they were doing, and then you taper them off. And for some people, it's hard to get them officially off of the Suboxone. You can taper it down low. They're just taking a little bit, but it's real because you're used to having something in your system that's activating your opiate receptor. So it's really kind of hard for some people to get off of it at the end.
All right. Dr. Reif is going to try to be with us every Monday. Always great information from you, buddy. And nice to see you. Gina Grad, thanks for hanging here.
Thanks for having me.
And it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.